Well, here we go again. I do feel a little more tired. I mentioned yesterday it's going to get a little difficult getting back into the regular routine after a couple of weeks of the holiday fun. And last night, I just was zonked. I went to bed early, and I still feel a little foggy this morning. Of course I'm complaining. I'm just saying it takes a day or two to get back into the routine here after all that food and fun and the later nights of the holidays. But many got back to school yesterday. Today, the Prairie Valley school system is also back to school. I know those of you in rural communities, like Balgonie, even yesterday, no school, but it's back to school today. So everyone is getting back into routine. I noticed I got my morning email here from Regina High School Athletics. Basketball and curling have already resumed, getting back into those extracurricular activities. And if you're a hockey mom or dad now, this month of January and February, besides the regular season, a lot of teams go on tournaments as well, too. So it's going to be busy just with extracurricular activity in the coming weeks, I'm sure, in your household. And maybe you got kids in cheer, dance, same thing, right? Some road trips are on the horizon now. It's just how it works out. But as many of you heard here live on 980 CJME yesterday afternoon, Canada Leafs returning home with a medal from the World Junior.
Canada will leave this World Junior Championship with a bronze medal after a 6-3 win over Finland.
Yeah, they beat Finland 6-3, and in the gold medal game,
Sweden, the World Junior Champions in Minnesota.
Yeah, Czechia might have beaten us, but they couldn't beat Sweden. 4-2, the final for the Swedes. So at least the spoilers of Canada didn't win. Gavin McKenna with Team Canada at 4 points. He was glad Canada was leaving with at least a medal.
Yeah, it obviously feels good. It's not the medal you want, but for us to come home with some hardware feels good.
Yeah, next December, the World Juniors will open up in Edmonton. And no doubt attendance will be a little stronger, but it does seem like a tournament that is largely popular in Canada. And it was in Minneapolis, and there were a lot of empty seats. Some people said, oh, it's probably because of Trump, not as many going. But in all honesty, some of the people I spoke to, even those from Canada who were at the World Juniors, said it was kind of fumbled by the organizers of the tournament. We're asking fairly hefty prices for prime tickets in the weeks leading up, but it just wasn't selling as well either. Hey, your lunch menu options just got a little better in downtown Regina as you return to work this week. It's the grand opening of the City Hall cafeteria. It's called Capital City Kitchen. They got a hot menu. They've got a grab-and-go section. I haven't heard yet if the liver and onion luncheon that was once so very popular in the City Hall cafeteria long ago will be returning anytime soon.
I ate his liver with some fava beans and a nice Chianti.
And that's the reason why I can't eat liver. As a matter of fact, I've never eaten liver. But I do recall many who work downtown always going on and on about, oh, it's Liver and Onions Day at City Hall cafeteria. Maybe this new restaurant will eventually bring it back in due time as well, too. Hey, I got to give a shout-out to some minor football coming to town this week. Starting Thursday, the Sask Selects are hosting 1,000 football players for the Battle on the Prairies in Moose Jaw. Now, many are staying within the city of Moose Jaw. And some overflow here in Regina, so it's a good economic spinoff. 25 teams from across Mexico, the U.S., and Canada, 4 different age groups represented. Some of those players from Mexico and parts of the U.S. have never experienced winter like this. So it's a real eye-opener when they get to town here, but that's awesome. And it'll start Thursday and continue through the weekend, but a good 1,000 athletes invading Moose Jaw and Regina. We wish them all well.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a nasty flu bug circulating in our province. Our flu test positivity rate slightly down the last couple of weeks to 38.5%. It was over 40% a few weeks back, but it's still very prominent in our province right now, and it's pushed a lot of people to doctor's offices and hospitals, especially those fearing the fever they're running is super high. Got to be mindful of that with your young children, too. And this is Regina's Urgent Care Center is being reduced in its hours. It will close early today because of a staffing shortage. It'll open at 8, but close at 4 today, and back at her at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning and stay open longer till 9:30. But yeah, flu bug has run through my household and friends' household, and Evan Bray was off for quite a while, too, and he's back this week, thankfully. But knock on wood, so far I've avoided it. I will tell you, last night I got on the old Peloton for the first time in a couple of weeks. After the holiday eating and grazing from all the goodies, like Christmas baking, my ride last night did not go as well as it did, say, prior to the Christmas break. It does not take long for you to get a routine of exercise, and I usually ride while I watch the Oilers game. They weren't playing last night. So if there's no hockey, I tend to watch whatever I might be binging lately. And right now, I'm on season 2 of Landman. I love this show. Some people are saying they think this season is too slow compared to the first. It is. But I love the characters so much, and the writing is so good. It's still, to me, one of the best series on television, Landman. It comes from the mind of Taylor Sheridan. You know, the guy who gave us Yellowstone, the prequels, 1883, and 1923. He's even the mastermind behind The Mayor of Kingstown, which everyone says is a great series. That just announced we'll have a fifth and final season. But Landman stars Billy Bob Thornton as Tommy Norris, and he's this like savvy landman managing the oil patch in Dallas for a tycoon, and it shows off like both the working class and the white-collar world of the oil industry, and it really spread in popularity, this show, after season one because of the family struggles that are pretty relatable when you watch the show, and it debates energy, climate change, economic growth all the time, and they present it so well. Great writing. Just listening here to Billy Bob Thornton and one of his co-stars explaining fracking to a city slicker lawyer who's never been to an oil field.
Fracking.
You shoot a ton of salt water down hole, and you squeeze all that oil out of the fractures, then you pump it up, separate the water. Technology changed the game out here.
Yeah, isn't this the technology that's causing earthquakes in Oklahoma?
There were earthquakes in Oklahoma before fracking, ma'am.
I have a very hard time advocating for something I believe is wrong.
Says the lawyer. Good and bad don't factor into this, Rebecca. Our great-grandparents built a world that runs on this shit here. Until it starts running on something else, we gotta feed it, or the world stops. There is an alternative. You can throw your phone away and trade that Mercedes in for a bicycle or a horse and start hunting for your own food and living in a tent. But you'll be the only one, and it won't make a damn bit of difference. Plus, I hear the moral high ground gets real windy at night.
Yeah, it's moments like that that have gone viral. There's another, too, that is just awesome. If you ever get a chance to see it, it's about Billy Bob Thornton's character explaining windmills. And that one really exploded virally and was pushing everyone to check out Landman. Just great writing. And when you listen to Billy Bob Thornton there, he's just so good. He can Taylor Sheridan, the show's creator, can take anything. Horses, cowboys, oil rigs, make it all feel like it's the backbone of civilization. And if he's got a bone to pick with energy, he writes about it. Billy Bob Thornton will deliver it. It's really part environmental drama and oil field soap opera. So if there's any series I can recommend to you right now, if you're looking to binge, Landman. It's into season 2 now, and a couple episodes to go before it wraps up, but great show. Air travel continues to be a hot topic in our province, particularly because it always seems there's another airline story from someone sharing how they were delayed on the tarmac or their luggage didn't show up when they got to Mexico. That's one case that Kevin Martell's coming up here in a moment with. Leslie Goslin says two of her families. Five suitcases arrived on Saturday in Mexico with them. The others still not showing up. More on this story coming up. Perhaps you have a story like that, too. If you have a holiday airline horror story you want to share, text me at 1-877-300-7275. Well, many of us got back to work yesterday, and of course, school too. Today, the Prairie School Division, where some schools were still off yesterday, get back at our today as well too. And I notice high school basketball and curling is up and running immediately already in high school. So the extracurricular activity fun has begun as well now as we get into a regular routine for January, February. And it's usually the end of Jan, early Feb, where I begin to regret not having planned out some sort of getaway to avoid the cold. Just going to stick around here and try to suck it up in the coming winter months. But I know air travel is very, very popular and always controversial, it seems now. Air travel never seems to be easy anymore. I'm hearing more and more stories of delayed flights, flight cancellations because of no pilots showing up, inconvenienced passengers left looking for a place to stay while they have to overnight, hoping to get on the flight the next day. And here's another story of passengers on a WestJet flight from Regina to PV in Mexico who say they're frustrated after their plane took off with most of their baggage left behind. Leslie Goslin says only two of her family's five suitcases arrived this past Saturday in Mexico with them. She says it's frustrating to find, to have to go looking for new clothing and swimsuits. And some items just can't be replaced, she said.
One of the people in our group is missing contact lenses, so she's got visibility issues, and she's lost one contact already, so she's missing her contact and can't see.
She says about 30 bags were delivered from the flight with 180 people on board.
Very, very disappointed in WestJet.
Yeah, she says there's very little that is happening. She's frustrated with WestJet, says there were too many bags. That's what WestJet told them, making the plane too heavy, and the bags eventually will join them. But how about you? Have you yet to be inconvenienced by an airline this holiday season, or even within the last year, year and a half? I know we have in our family. I think in the last year and a half, every time I have flown, and I do it maybe, I fly 3-4 times a year domestically, sometimes to the U.S., not as much lately, but in the last year and a half, every flight I've taken, whether it be on the way or returning, there's been some sort of a problem. Flights canceled, having to stand in line for hours to try and get assistance to find another flight out of Vancouver. That happened to us. Had to stay overnight. And another time we showed up to a flight delayed while they looked for the pilots. Took hours and hours. And then you start stressing about getting home in time to get to work because I never took an extra day off thinking that we'd have flight delays. Now you got to plan your holidays around that. If you're gone for 7 days, you got to take 9. Put a day ahead of it and a day around the end of it because you have to worry about flight delays. Last year, our flight to Calgary from Regina was delayed because they were waiting for a crew, and we nearly missed our connecting flight to go to Italy, a trip that, you know, you plan for years, almost ruined by a delay. How about you? You got a holiday flight disaster story or something within the last year or two that has happened to you? Text me 1-877-300-7275. Oh, and WestJet is taking more heat. There is this video showing non-existent legroom on some of the new airlines. A couple leaving from Edmonton are seen sitting in a row with their daughter shooting the video of a lack of legroom.
Dad, can you just straighten out your legs there?
That's impossible.
Mom, how about you?
Yeah, well, I'm
going to
be showing my legs
back.
New planes with no legroom. When you look at this video, you can't see from the knee down because the seats in front of them are that close. And as I said, if you had to assume the crash position, you couldn't. It's getting worse. 1-877-300-7275. If you're looking for something to do tonight, the Harlem Globetrotters are in town over at the Brand Center. And I swear, saying that out loud still does something to my inner 9-year-old child, because growing up, the Globetrotters weren't just a team. They were kind of like superheroes. You could only see them on television on a Saturday afternoon.
The thrill of victory
and the agony of defeat. This is ABC's Wide World of Sports.
It's where I first saw Meadowlark, Lemon, Curly Neal, guys who could spin a basketball on their finger like it was glued there, then somehow make it disappear behind their head. They were awesome. Heck, they were even cartoon heroes.
Today, Scooby-Doo meets the Globetrotter.
Yeah, 1 minute it was Scooby-Doo, the next minute Meadowlark Lemon was dunking on a cartoon villain.
Uh-oh.
I remember, too, the anticipation when you heard the Globetrotters were coming to town. It was a big deal as a kid because they were world-renowned. You'd only ever see them, as I mentioned, on Wide World of Sports, which I watched on Dad's fuzzy RCA television, and the idea they would be in my own backyard in the flesh was almost too much excitement for me to handle as a young kid. I kind of liken it to if your kids were just finding out, oh man, the Avengers are in town. They're playing at a local hockey rink. The excitement they'd feel. That's how I kind of felt. And at the show, you'd sit there in the stands, eyes wide, waiting for the confetti buckets, the spinning ball, the ref getting embarrassed when they yank his pants down, and Curly Neal running circles around defenders. It wasn't basketball. It was like sorcery. Fast forward to now, I'm taking my daughter tonight. She has no idea who these sports giants are. I've tried explaining it. I told her, heck, they invented the alley-oop. And she just asked me, so, like, are they on TikTok? TikTok! Actually, they are. And the excitement is entirely one-sided.
I'm so bored.
Yeah, yeah.
So bored.
The magic is lost on Generation Alpha, I know. But I'm hoping tonight, when the whistle blows and the ball starts spinning on a fingertip, a little bit of that 1976-ish wonder might just rub off on her, and I'm sure I'll wind up sitting there explaining how these guys are legends, and she'll politely look at me and ask for snacks. But there's one thing. She'll laugh. I know she'll laugh. She'll probably clap occasionally. She'll even ask why the ref is so bad. And just like me years ago, she'll leave smiling. I know it, because some traditions, they don't need explaining, right? They just need a basketball. A little magic. That's all they need. Looking forward to the Globetrotters tonight. Hey, in Las Vegas, the Consumer Electronics Show is on right now, and it's where all the future tech is on display, with the hopes that it becomes the next best and biggest thing. And this year, it's all about robots already. Ones that'll do your house chores eventually, like maybe your laundry. That would be kind of cool. They've got robots that do laundry there. And Lego just announced that they are going a little more high-tech, too. And there are a lot of Lego lovers, especially after Christmas, right? So many adults got Lego because it's boomed in that part of the business, too, for adults. And they unveiled this new interactive little Lego brick that will interact with other bricks to produce sounds and reactions. Senior Lego VP Tom Donaldson says the smart bricks can be used over and over in different Lego sets to bring the action alive.
The smart play starts with a Lego smart brick. It's just a 2x4 Lego brick, except that it's packed with sensors and smarts. But the Lego smart brick responds to what kids do, generating reactions to their actions. It becomes an instrument for their play, and it unleashes their imagination.
It sounds kind of cool. Lego smart bricks. Just showing off at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas. Hey, coming up with Kevin Martell, all the latest headlines, including more disaster airline stories. Well, not necessarily disaster. I shouldn't say that because I don't want to conjure up anything horrible like that. But, hey, it's disastrous if you show up in Mexico and your swimsuit isn't with you. There's no luggage, right? Well, it's happened to a lot of Regina families as of late. We've got more on that coming right up here in just a few moments with Kevin Martell. Oh, and by the way, the Globetrotters, as I mentioned earlier, in town tonight, one of them is popping by next half hour. He's going to tell us what it takes to tour the globe as one of the Trotters. Alex Moose Weeks will be here in about 15 minutes.